Welcome back to Stags Radio. We are having some technical difficulties here today, losing connection. It's coming in and out. And again, we can only apologise for that. You haven't missed, well, I don't think you've missed any more goals. Still 2-0 to the Stags through Ethan Taylor and Shaq Gwengwe.
Hoping that before this cut out that you were able to hear about the Barnstaple penalty, they have converted it, scoring to make it 1-1 during that game.
So Barnstaple really up against it in that relegation battle, desperately scrapping for points as this goes out of playoff. Jack Hoey for a throw to Mangotsfield on the far side of the pitch.
Melksham also gone 2-0 up during a Jay Malshansky goal and also a red card in the Bristol Manor Firm match. Ben Barnett of Bristol Manor Firm.
Wow, so Bamman being sent off there for Manor Farm. That's going to give Plymouth Parkway making a promotion push of their own again. Parkway and Manor Farm, two teams want to pushing into that top five. Parkway have got those games in hand. And Parkway, you feel that, you know, a man to the good with this much game left to play, 15 minutes left of the first half, plus an entire second 45. So an hour with 10 men now for Manor Farm. That's going to be a tough ask. You'd back Parkway to probably get the points there. As from a free kick, Noyce puts it long.
Griffin
dummies out the defender, tries to flick it over his head and actually flicks it straight into the head of Emmanuel Oke, and it's gone behind for the corner. A little bit of comedy to that one.
A few laughs in my eyes, but
not much Oke could do about it, to be honest. Has to apply the pressure and then, yeah, just got a ball in the face for his troubles. It's going to be Jack Hoey who's gone over to take the corner on this occasion from this near side. So we'll try and get that in-swinger with the right foot.
Kapugamu, Olamiwa, all in the box for this one.
Yeah, the captain Medway's up there as well.
Ngalu sitting on the edge.
Hoey puts the ball in, but it's headed out by Mangotsfield. Taylor tries to clean it up, but an opportunity perhaps on the counter for McBeam, who's brought down a little bit cynically by Ethan Taylor. Godfrey's going to wave him over, and I imagine that he's probably going to pick up a booking for his troubles.
Surely has to be a yellow, but you've seen how some referees do sometimes decide to give out a red card for these.
So still 2-0 here on Stags Radio, and Ethan Taylor is indeed going into the referee's book, a challenge that I'm not sure he needed to make. There were a... was taking one for the team there.
It's not connected yet again. I don't know. Right. Come on, quickly exit and try again. Oh, perfect. Sorry.
So from the free kick, from that yellow card, high into the box, headed on, McBeam tries to bring it down in the area. McBeam's gone down. The referee clearly waves away the penalty. And now Shaquil Gwengwe can hit on the counter. Driving down this left wing, cutting inside once more. He's found Taylor, laying it off for Hoey. Hoey shoots from range. The ball's well blocked, though. It might come through to Taylor. Last-ditch defending, still alive. And then eventually Radovanovic dives on the ball to take the sting out of the attack. But a very dangerous counter there from the Stags.
Don't know if you were able to say, but Ethan Taylor did pick up a booking there. It was a yellow card. And in other games, Larkle have gotten themselves a goal to go 1-0 up through Alex Lambert at the moment.
And that's a big goal for Larkle at home to Lymington because, of course, they're down to 10 men. So I can imagine that Larkle will defend like their lives depend on it. We know what a tough physical team that Larkhall can be.
In some cases, you do see a red card actually favour an opposition, but for the rest of the game, with, as you said, almost an hour to play, I don't see them defending for the full 60.
It'll be a tough ask as Lewis Noyce, with the ball in his hands, looks to distribute long. Griffin wins the header, but can only put it out of play for a throw. But it is deep in territory, so an opportunity here for the Stags to press high up the pitch. We know that since Dan Sackman took over on a full-time basis, he has trying to drive and enthuse his players to win the ball higher up the pitch. Appeals for perhaps a little bit of a push in front of the Mangotsfield bench. Nothing doing though. They do win a throw slightly further up. Medway wins the header. Going through to Gwengwe. Tries to flick it round the corner. Loses out though to the captain Chambers. And now they try to come forward. Regé's clearance is charged down. This could break forward for Kai Simpson. Trying to find a way to get the ball into the box. Tussling with Kapugamu there. And in the end, Kapugamu's really held up the attack and he's intervened to poke the ball out of play. Just those of you listening on the Podbean on Stags Radio, again, we apologise once more for the audio and connectivity problems. If we could just get a little confirmation from someone listening that you can hear us. If not, then we will, if you don't get anything, we'll assume that you can't and we'll do a little bit more digging. Okay, thanks, Doug. Again, we can only apologise here. We've tried various different Wi-Fi networks and not really having an awful lot of luck, but we will, yeah, try our best to try and find a stable thing. As the ball drilled in from the corner, fell nicely for Mangotsfield. The danger not cleared. And in the end, Lewis Moyes had to get down smartly to his left, low, to make the save and turn the ball round the post for another Mangotsfield corner.
Lucky for the listeners and for us that Doug's also said that we heard both goals. So, luckily, still not missing out on much.
As the header comes in low from Samuel Larkins and he can't direct it goalwards, so it's behind for a goal kick. But that's a couple of times now from the set pieces, even if Mangotsfield haven't put the ball in the back of the net, that they've been able to feel, you know, head or boot on ball. And that will perhaps worry the Tottenham coaching side, who would prefer these to be dealt with a bit more efficiently. Lewis Moyes has a couple of options short for the goal kick, but I think he's probably going to try and take it long. And he is indeed way away. So I don't think there's any doubt about what's going to happen here. Takes the free kick long, looking for either Gwengui or Griffin. Davis wins the header. In the middle of the park, Tommaso can't pinch it away. But the ball down this left-hand side, Medway just uses his physicality nicely, shields the ball and shepherds it out of play for the throw. Sometimes with defending, it's not always about those last-ditch challenges. It's about putting your body in the right position so that the opposition doesn't have a chance to win the ball. Regay takes the throw long. Griffin wins that header, as he so often does on that left touchline. Adam Tommaso trying to play it over the top to let Jack Hoey in from behind, but Samuel Larkins does the sensible thing, nods it back to his goalkeeper, Radovanovic. If you can see, it's getting a little bit darker, the cloud cover's getting a bit heavier, the wind whipping up. That's a poor kick out, but Ethan Taylor, with a rare miscontrol, just bobbled over his foot slightly, can't punish them for it. Kapugamu traps it on the chest and goes short now to N'Golo.
N'Golo beating his man down this right side and out for a throw-in, Totten.
Casemol actually timed his challenge well, because he could easily have given up away the free kick on the sliding challenge, but he got in there nicely. Just hearing sounds like some drumming and tambourining down in the Mali's corner, over to our right hand side, which is good to see. Good to see the support getting behind the lads today as the long throw is taken, and Totten try and winning the ball high up the pitch. But this is really well done actually by Mangotsfield to get out of a tight jam. Kapugamu wins the ball though, and Taylor plays a nice 1-2 with Hoey. Leads that one down the far sideline, and I don't think Taylor's quite going to get there in the end. Good covering from the defence to get there in front of Taylor and just block him off really from getting to the ball and watch the ball behind for the goal kick. Strong defending there from Mangotsfield, because that was a really smart 1-2 from Taylor and Hoey. Ball played long again. Just over 5 minutes left here in this first half. The Stags still 2-0 up. This one over the top. That's going to invite the keeper, Radovanovic, to come and get the ball. And he does claim that strongly. When there's a horrible wind like this, you need that goalkeeper to really be in command of his area, Jamie.
You definitely do. And with the wind facing your team, you do need to be loud and vocal for your players to make sure that you are in complete control.
I hadn't thought about that, but you are bang on. The wind will not necessarily carry your voice, so you need to be loud. You know, you need to get that message across so that you don't have those miscommunications. As N'Golo blocks the challenge, opportunity to spring on the counter, but Matt Davis comes across to make a necessary intervention, because otherwise he could have slipped Gwengui free. Regay looking for options for the throw here. Wasn't quite on the same page as N'Golo, so he's going long to Griffin. Wanted to head this on to the striker in the middle, but Gwengui was actually on his outside rather than on his inside. So comfortable for the visiting keeper to deal with. Long kick forward. Medway wins the first header.
Got a bit of control here.
Hoey tries to flick the ball over the top. It might eventually work its way free to Taylor.
It is through to Taylor. He's in the box now.
He's in the area from a narrow angle, shoots, and it is blocked with the legs of Radovanovic, nearly squirted through. But Taylor was lively there again. The bouncing ball causing problems that time for the Mangotsfield defence as they try and get it forward, but Olamiwa cuts it out.
This whole right side of the Ton defence is very, very, very strong right now.
Yeah,
Kipogamo and Olamiwa perfectly intercepting most passes down that flank.
Yeah, we'll say that Olamiwa started at right back in midweek against Scholing, and starting at right back again today does provide a big physical presence in that position.
A lot of faith from Sackman as well, proving him right.
Yeah, especially with how Callum Bourne has generally played this season. Tough call to make as they try and clip that one over the defence, but Medway reads it well, heads it clear, but they've got an opportunity to come forward again once more, this time looking down the right-hand side. McBeam tussling with Regay, and Regay wins the ball, can't keep it in play, but he does thwart that attack, winning the ball from the diminutive McBeam. Okay, we'll take the throw in towards the box. Tommaso can't quite clear it at the first time of asking. He can clear it at the second. Headed just back forward once more by Larkins. A little bit of head tennis. Kipogamo trying to clip that one over the top now for Simpson. Simpson bearing down on goal, and that might have been drifting into the bottom corner. An awkward bobble there, and Lewis Noyce didn't want to take any chances. Palms it behind for a corner.
We are coming near to the end of the first half here, and I feel like we need to go in with the 2-0 lead before we are faced with the wind against us.
Yeah, important to hold on now. As McBeam will put the corner in over the head of most players there. And it falls to Simpson on the edge of the area. I thought that
fell off the post. It didn't even go beyond the goal.
I thought that ricocheted off the advertising hoardings. But evidently, ball's still in play here, and Mangotsfield can have another attack. I must say, I was sure that had...
That was way too powerful.
I was sure that had come off the advertising, but apparently not. Okay, tries to clip the ball downfield. Hoey waits for it to go out of play. It doesn't do so, though, so now he's going to see if he can get Gwengui downfield. This ball, physical defending there from Matt Davis, but the referee is just saying that he's using his physicality there. Nearly bundled into Craig Hobbs, the club photographer, sitting on his little stool behind that goal. Hello, Craig. Thanks for the wave. Doing an impeccable job as ever. Sure, God, he's got not too sure about the clouds for the lighting, but hopefully he's got some good action shots of our two goals so far. Now Mangotsfield coming down the left-hand side. Olamiwa was trying to thwart this attack. Can they get round him? They can, but the header doesn't get there from Beardwell. Just a little high over his head. It's the first time really they've had that much joy down that left-hand side.
As the ball is out of play right now, we have a goal from the Bristol Manor Farm for Michael Bryant for Bristol Manor Farm, actually.
So both sides who've gone down to 10 men, Bristol Manor Farm and Lark Hall, have taken the lead in those games. So, shows what we know about football.
I would never have made that type of prediction after seeing the red cards.
And yeah, I imagine now they are... Yeah, will not be afraid to throw some bodies behind the ball. Appeals for a handball against McBeam. Nothing doing, says the referee, as he's going back into defence. And now they're rolling out wide. That's a little too strong, though, for Jackson to get to. Simpson can't come across and cover, and that'll be a Tottenham throw on the far side with Olamiwa now has the ball in his mitts. A couple of minutes here before the end of the first half. Haven't seen an indication of how much stoppage time we might have played as Olamiwa goes downfield.
I'd make an expectation of about 2 minutes additional time just due to the head injury and the yellow card to Sam Griffin.
Ethan Taylor. Yeah, I got you. Don't worry, Jamie.
I was going to say, easy mistake to make. They're both quick, they're both skillful.
Yeah, both on the wings. We're going to need another ball as it's just gone out of play by over the fence on the far side by Ali Baba's kebab hut. I wasn't sure what to call it. It's not quite a van. I'm calling it a hut. We'll go with that. Kebab Emporium. Again, they're looking for that long throw into the box with a very extended wind-up. Headed out and on the volley. Well, you cannot blame him for having a go. But Joe Cadamol, again, just couldn't hit the target, couldn't keep it down, and out of play for another goal kick. Just going to get the signal from Andrew Hanley as how much additional time we get.
And looks to be 2 minutes with his fingers pointing up to the ref.
I think you might have called it correctly. You can indeed. He's got gloves as well, just for COVID protocols. But there will be 2 minutes of injury time at the end of this first half. Two added minutes. The header, it's won by Matt Davis and it's going to go all the way back to Radovanovic, who's just going to take a touch before picking it up. And Radovanovic distributes long downfield. Olamiwa goes in a physical tussle there with Beardwell, and Adam Tommaso misses the clearance. Again, he's had a couple of those where he's, again, maybe just that lack of match practice, and this one just is just going to curl away from Chuck Gwengwe. Griffin tried to release him, and he puts his hand up in apology because, again, that was a potential opportunity, but just got the wrong kind of edge on that, I think.
The wind in that particular moment actually playing against us there, carrying the ball further than it was hoping to be.
Yeah, pushing it out this near side of the pitch. I think that's another reason as well why we've seen the bulk of the attacking play from both sides come through this channel, because it's just where the wind is pushing you. Okay, takes the throw from the halfway line. Rigaud wins the header into the middle of the pitch.
Howie now out wide.
Might ricochet free, not quite. Ethan Taylor on the yellow card. I think he's just being careful not to lunge into any challenges. That's very wise, and Garlow wins the ball. Can't keep it though. Taylor tries to charge down the ball forward, and it's out of play for a throw on the far side that Larkins will take. No, he's got the big arm and he uses that effectively.
Now an option to the left wing
to try and flick it in. Simpson, his ball is well cut out though. And now they're looking forward. Surely they've come over the back of Gwengwe there. Yeah, Matt Davis appeals to the referee, but I'm not quite sure what he's got a problem with, because he was right over the back of Gwengwe there. And on the halfway line, in front of the referee, I don't think there's going to be any doubt that he's ever going to give that.
Seconds left now of the half. Very, very, very nice at the moment. What is your, summary of the first half?
I think so far Tottenham have been the better side and they've got the two goals to show for it. But you still feel like they've got some extra gears here. Maybe the elements are conspiring against them as to why we haven't necessarily seen those. Tommaso wants to take the free kick long. Okay, heads it so it doesn't go through to Griffin and the clearance. Well, the referee whistle blows and so we will come to nothing in the end. But a very confident first half, I think, there from the Stags after back-to-back defeats, looking to return to winning ways here. And they're on the path to do so now. The halftime score, AFC Tottenham 2, Mangotsfield United 0. So, Jamie, I think overall, first half that the Stags can be happy with.
The first half that I think every fan of the Stags should be happy with as well. 2-0 into halftime. Obviously, the win playing into our favour. Chances at both ends, really. Very good chances at both ends. And I believe that we have taken the better of both opportunities we've had.
Yeah, Lewis Noyce has had a couple of saves to make, but he's made them fairly confidently. And then when we've been through on goal again, one-on-one, Ethan Taylor, just the calmness and the composure to take it round the keeper before finishing. And then after scoring the first, with the assist from Shaq, a little bit of a role reversal for the second with Ethan Taylor's free kick. Gwengwe rising highest to head it into the visiting net to give AFC Tottenham a 2-0 lead. Rather than close down this link and start a new one for the second half, because we've had some problems, we're going to stick with it for now. So you don't need to go anywhere. We'll put the background music on, and you can just vibe to that for a few minutes before we get underway with the second half. But thanks very much for listening to us here on Stags Radio. Your halftime score is AFC Tottenham 2, Mangotsfield United 0.
You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Tottenham's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. We'll be right back. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary.
With the Stags looking to make up ground on their Southern League promotion rivals, they've got off to a good start in the first half today. Shaq Gwengwe flicking the ball through for Ethan Taylor to round the keeper and score, and then the scorer and turn provider when Ethan Taylor, his free kick drifted into the box and Shaq Gwengwe rose highest to head beyond Marko Radovanovic and give the Stags a 2-0 lead, which they've maintained into the second half. Hello and welcome back to Stags Radio, your home of AFC Totten's live match day commentary. The Stags looking good in the first half with a 2-0 lead. Benjamin Rees joined by Jamie Hale. Jamie, what are your thoughts on that first half?
Once again, impressive, electric. It was very quick, free-flying football from the lads. It was just an impressive outing.
Do you think we've seen the best of this Totten side, or do you feel like they've still got a couple more gears to click into?
This is definitely not the best that I've seen Totten at all. There has been a lot of positives to take from this and a lot more positives coming, I hope. But being 2-0 up, I do believe they will turn on the gears a bit more now and hopefully score a few more.
Yeah, just try and really run down their opponents. Use that home field advantage to their benefit. I didn't want to say advantage again.
How about you? How do you feel like the first half went?
No, I'm with you. It was a good professional performance, but yeah, I still feel like there's still a couple more to give. Obviously, change ends at halftime, so they're now going to be going to left to right. You can see the various flags have switched their positions behind goals, and they're going to be shooting as well down towards Mali's corner as well, which I'm sure is going to be get loud and roar the boys home.
A little summary as well on the weather and the occasion at the moment. The wind has actually tamed down a little bit going into this second half, and the sun's starting to try and glare through here.
Yeah, there is still a lot of heavy cloud cover that's going through at a reasonable pace. But yeah, at the moment, fingers crossed, touch wood, the wind has dipped because you could see it causing problems for both sides, really, in that first 45. No one having it entirely all their own way. A couple of, balls bouncing over people's heads, missed clearances, some bobbles. Just not quite expectable, not quite where you're expecting it to be, I think.
I do believe so. And now the Claret Blue boys coming back out onto the pitch. As far as we're aware, no substitutes being made. But we'll keep you updated if there are any.
Yeah, there was the one change from the starting lineup for AFC Totten with Freddie Reed just feeling a twinge very late on in the warm-up, so replaced by Jordan and Garlo for the starting 11, and Josh Jeffries then filling up the vacant space in the bench, the substitute keeper. Mangotsfield United have made the one change as well in the first half, with Taboo Minzamba coming off to be replaced by Luke Smith. So, going through the two lineups for Mangotsfield United, Radovanovic in goal, OK, Jackson, Davis and Larkins, Chambers, now Smith in for Minzamba, Catamol, and then Simpson, McBeam and Beardwell. For AFC Totten, Noyce in goal, the back four, Olamiwa, Kapugamu, Medway and Regay. Tommaso, Hoey and N'Galo in midfield. Gwengui, Taylor and Griffin Olamiwa. Up front. As I say that, there has been a half-time change. It's going to be Adi Olamiwa making his way onto the bench to be replaced by Callum Bourne. So Callum Bourne, yeah, hasn't started the past couple of games, but generally had a very good season in his first year at the club, and he will fill in that spot at right back in Adi Olamiwa's stead. And N'Galo is obviously on the starting lineup now as well in for Freddie Reid. So the other four on the bench for the Stags, Jeffries, Masterton, Waterfield and Kasimu, and the four subs for Mangotsfield United, Freckleton, Horton, Crosby and their backup goalkeeper, Jacob Glover. So back underway here in the second half with the team switching ends. The claret and pastel baby blue of Mangotsfield going right to left now, trying to attack down this near side, putting one over the top, hooked over the head, trying to keep it in play. Mangotsfield looking to evidently start this second half on the front foot. Good challenge by Taylor, especially when you consider that he picked up that yellow card in the first half. And Bourne's first touch is a slightly agricultural lump looking for Sam Griffin across the pitch, but that's well cut out by Emmanuel Oke. Now an opportunity for some more defending for Callum Bourne, and he received a very heavy ball there, caught it right in the midriff, but Beardwell was offside, so that's going to be a free kick to the hosts. There was another late goal in the first half in the Southern League that we didn't quite have time to tell you about, Jamie.
It was Poulton Rovers, actually, against Evesham United. Edward Butcher scoring this one. That was in the 45th minute, literally as we were signing off.
So 2-0 there. Poulton now lead at Evesham, and the Bristol Manor Farm goal away at Parkway was actually awarded to Joshua Ford. And there is another goal to tell you about, which we will tell you about shortly, as this attack is thwarted by the Mangotsfield defence. Harry Medway tries to get his head to it. Playing the ball down the left-hand side, I think Mangotsfield will take the no-nonsense approach of putting that out of play. What was that goal you're going to tell us about?
The goal was by Cinderford Town, Harry Ermit, making it 2-1.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's away at Melksham. Freddie Reid's up to our right-hand side, so of course not in the end in the starting lineup today, just in the warm-up, just came up a little bit short. So hopefully nothing to worry about there. We'll see if we can get a further update at the end of the game. Lovely bit of skill from Griffin. Crowd of bodies in the area. He can't quite work its way through. But N'Galo from range shoots, and that's a very smart save down to the left from Radovanovic.
Beautifully worked, actually. Very beautifully worked.
Radovanovic chooses to play it long. Medway heads it out to McBeam on the right-hand side. Now he's trying to play a ball forward, but not on the same page there as Kai Simpson. And that's comfortably behind for the goal kick for Lewis Noyce. Just getting confirmation from Freddie and from Harry Brookwell to my left as well. There's a slight hip problem there for Freddie Reid. So again, rather than risk it and potentially have to use a substitution early on, just make the change before the game starts. And fingers crossed as well, because he can be such an important player that we will, he will be fit to start sooner rather than later. Good switch of play here. Here's Callum Bourne getting forward for the first time, putting it back inside to Tommaso. Going back to Kapugamu. He goes to Medway. Trying to coax Mangotsfield out of their shell a little bit, but they're defending in those banks of four, and Hoey loses the ball, and Chambers seizes the opportunity to come forward and take the no-nonsense approach and boot that out of play for the throw to the Stags. Bourne takes it and goes back to Kapugamu. Kapugamu looking forward. He wants to get it over the top towards Gwengui. Plays back Samuel Larkins to his goalkeeper, Radovanovic. Gwengui applies a little bit of pressure as the kick goes long. Medway puts a strong, firm head through it. And Hoey goes up for the ball, but illegally according to the referee. So a free kick given to the visitors here. Still 2-0 early on in the second half. Mangotsfield take the free kick. And I think Callum Ball misjudged that slightly, but it's going to go all the way over his head. And didn't see whether that's gone out for a throw or for a goal kick. Looks like it's a throw to me because everyone's come forward. opportunity potentially for Mangotsfield to press high up and work themselves into an attacking opportunity. Chambers wins the header from Bourne's throw, but can only head it out of play. So what could have been a good opportunity, just a little more sting taken out of it, but still everyone pretty much, with the exception of the visiting goalkeeper, inside Tottenham's half at the moment. Bourne looking for another long throw. This time it's Tyler Jackson winning the header. And again, Callum Bourne's going to just move the throw in slightly further up the pitch. There's a pattern emerging at the moment here. A couple of minutes into this second half here on Stags Radio. No more goals to tell you about. So the 2-0 lead that the home side took into the break currently remains. Good throw in that Taylor brings down well. Clips the ball over the top, looking for Sam Griffin. Controls it, loses it to Oke, but it rolls back to Griffin. He's gone to Regay. Regay just shrugs off the challenge there from McBeam. Goes to Medway. Medway wants to drift this one down the left-hand side. Oke wins the ball, only as far as Regay. Brings the ball down nicely there. Breaks the lines all the way through to Griffin, but Davis, I think he was waiting to see if Radovanovic could come out and get that. In the end, Dick matters into his own hands, and the clearance doesn't quite work its way through to N'Golo. Couldn't get it cleanly. Regay defends well, and the two Jordans combining as Hoey plays the ball off McBeam for a throw on the far side. Again, both sides just trying to feel their way into the second half a little bit here. Haven't seen perhaps the fluency that both sides managed in the first. Here's an opportunity to play Gwengui through, but I don't think he's beat the offside trap there. And the official's flag goes up on the near side to signal for the offside. Another goal to tell us about, Jamie.
Another goal, and this in the Barnstaple game, making it 2-1 through Brodie Montague.
So coming from 1-0 down, Fareham now gone 2-1 up as they tried to pull off the great escape and beat the drop.
In that game as well, where there is a red card as well, they're making the most of it right now.
Header that Ethan Taylor tries to flick forward. Well cut out by the Mangotsfield defence, but they can't play it out because Regay's picked it up, and we know that Regay can drive forward. Clipping this one for Taylor, lets the ball bounce, brings it down, lays it off to Gwengui. Gwengui tries to play it through for Taylor. I think maybe they just got a little bit too cute there, and those slightly lofted balls with this wind is going to be a bit of a problem. Maybe just should have tried to take the opportunity to get the shot on goal perhaps, but hindsight, of course, is 2020 as Medway heads the ball clear. And now Luke Smith, the substitute, who came on for Minzamba in the first half after Minzamba had a little bit of a clash of heads. Callum Bourne wins the ball and gets a slightly late challenge there and wins the free kick as well. So Callum Bourne, after coming on at halftime, just getting his way to get involved in the game as well here. Again, Callum Bourne, not really a bad substitute to be able to bring on.
It's a very strong position, the right back, actually, having Olumiwa and Callum Bourne as well. Is very much a like-for-like sub in my eyes.
Yeah, of course, Olumiwa's a bit bigger, maybe has that aerial presence that Callum Bourne doesn't have. As that long ball, Simpson's going to try and keep this in play right down on the byline, which he's done so well. And now he's drifting back in towards the field of play. He's come quite deep eventually to try and escape, and he rolls it across to Chambers. Floating one down the right-hand side. Oke keeps the ball in play. Rolls it back in towards the centre. Medway puts his foot through it. And you can see the ball come high in the sky. Almost comes down with snow on it. Such is the height that Medway gets underneath the clearance. Now Luke Smith struggling against Tommaso. Jordan N'Golo comes to help out. Still not clear yet. And eventually Kapugamu puts his foot through the ball to clear. Mangotsfield, however, having a good little spell here, coming forward, trying to put the Tottenham defence under pressure. They just haven't really been able to craft the opportunity. That time they try and break the lines, and Medway reads it and intercepts. Regay wants to clear it. Not the best clearance, actually, and it's going to bounce out of play just inside the Mangotsfield half on this near side for the throw. Looks like it's going to be this long throw from Samuel Larkins. The exaggerated run-up. He does get an awful amount of distance on that, doesn't he? That is, every time someone has a long throw, they bring up the same old example. It's Rory Delap. But
it's
always
Rory Delap, except that one, I believe, was further than the halfway line and still somehow went out for a goal kick. So.
It's a real exocet of a throw, to be honest, a real missile. Lewis Noyes, oh, you could see the wind just all to the flight of the ball, but Callum Bourne read that well to keep it in play. And he's gone back to his defensive teammate, Kapugamu. Got a little bit of space to work with. He wants to clip one over the top for Gwengwe. Gets under the ball. Can he keep it in play? Not quite. Gets the final touch. And it's out of play for a throw. A little bit of argy-bargy perhaps on this near side. And the referee, Timothy Godfrey, the man in the middle today, just calling Gwengwe over, telling him to calm it down a little bit. George Redford and Harry Redman are his assistants today. And the referee there just trying to prevent anything before it potentially happens. I imagine we'll get another long throw here from Larkins.
It really is such an...
You feel like you should be playing javelin rather than football almost with that throw. Tommaso reads that well. He's set through Griffin. Griffin has to turn and come back. And that allows the defence to get a little bit of an opportunity there. Now he goes the diagonal through to Gwengwe. He's kept this in play on this near side. Tussling with the left back Jackson. And Jackson wins the ball, gets in front. And Gwengwe commits the foul. So in the left back area, Radovanovic is going to come out of his goal to take the free kick. There is a substitution to be made, the second of the day for the visitors, Mangotsfield United. Joe Beardwell is coming off and Jaden Crosby will be his replacement. So maybe just getting some fresh legs, a bit of energy into that Mangotsfield attack, Jamie?
Yes, not much to be known about number 16, but number 11's had a struggle against Olumiwa and up against Kapogo. But now with this Bourne on the right side, you'd hope for the away team, if you are the away fans, that there could be an impactful sub.
Yeah, just a slightly different matchup on there as Crosby flicks it over the head, gets past Bourne, rolls it into the edge of the area. Shot from range, deflected, and it's going to go... I think Bourne's going to try and keep this in, but he's going to give that up as it's going to go behind. Dangerous opportunity there. Well, we talked about Crosby maybe being an impact sub, and I think his impact was felt instantly there.
Very much so. Instantly got the better of Bourne, getting it behind his head and getting the pace onto him. But both players still settling in after coming on just after the half time. So,
the corner drifted in. Strong header. Very good header, actually. Won well by, I believe that's Joe Catamol, but he headed it straight to Noyce, who was waiting at the near post for that. And claims it comfortably. Another goal, Jamie.
Another goal to tell you about. It's in the Barnstaple Town game yet again to make it 3-1. Owen Ho, I think he's now scored 2 in that game.
Yeah, Owen Howe, of course, was at Bristol Manor Farm earlier in the season, went up to Tiverton and now come back down to Barnstaple, who are trying to build something as they aim to escape the drop. Now Mangotsfield coming forward. You must say, probably looked the more dangerous side in the second half so far. Tommaso wins the ball well. And Garlo, I thought he got clipped as he won the ball. But Tyler Jackson will come across to take the throw. And the referee is just going to stop things here. And Garlo, again, referee do always stress that they are a lot closer to the action than we are. And he didn't see the infringement there. Jackson will just go over and help Garlo up. And the stoppage will allow Larkins to come over and deliver this long throw. He's looking very deep, and this is going to be a tussle to try and keep it in play. They see that shoulder to shoulder, McBeam up against the much bigger Kapugamu, and that's a battle that Kapugamu is almost always going to win. Lewis Noyce here will have the opportunity to take the goal kick either short or long. He's going long. He wants to get it to Bourne on this right-hand side, but just floats over his head again. Maybe Olamiwa's got a little bit taller in stature, would be able to keep that, but Not so much for Bourne. Another long throw from Larkins. Simpson comes all the way across to win the ball. Callum Bourne tries to intervene, and Simpson just using his bigger frame there to shield out Bourne. And this is going to be a free kick. McBeam's gone over to take it. I must say, I didn't see a huge amount wrong with Bourne's defending there. Maybe just a little bit of a tug of the shirt, perhaps?
Unfortunately for me, it is in the end, so we couldn't even try and witness what happened.
It's always tricky to get an angle on, to get a bit of an angle on that. As McBeam, well, he put the free kick in, but the referee wasn't quite ready for it. Again, there's still a little bit of jostling in the areas. There always seems to be when you have an opportunity to whip these balls in. More goals.
Another goal, Lymington Town to get an equaliser against Larkhall. Callum Davies scoring that one.
So Lymington Town, of course, Larkhall reduced to 10 men early on, went behind, and now Larkhall took the lead, and now Lymington have been able to equalise as McBeam will put the ball into the box. And I think he was aiming for that far corner, seeing if he could catch Noyce unawares, but the goalkeeper was wise and ready for it. And we do know that often Lewis Noyce likes to get the ball into play quickly, but he's taking his time here. Eventually, he's playing it long over the top. Couple of options there, Griffin and Taylor. Griffin heads it for Taylor on an angle, narrow wing. Larkins makes a crucial interception, sliding in to put that ball behind for the corner. And that was necessary. Because otherwise, Ethan Taylor could have had a very good opportunity on goal. And we know he's already scored once today as we're getting our second substitution of the afternoon. Jack Hoey is the player making way.
And Kasima is coming on.
Well, this is an attacking, aggressive substitution here from Dan Sackman. The club's leading goal scorer this season, 15 league goals for Hisham Kasima. And now he's got an opportunity to try and make an impact from the substitutes bench. Just getting the checking over from the assistant on this near side.
You wonder what type of formation they're going to be moving to after this type of change.
A very wise fan at the fans forum last night, i.e. me, inquired about the potential change in formation as Kasima came short for a short free kick there from a short corner from Ethan Taylor. But the referee, I don't think, was quite ready with it, trying to deal with some traffic in the area. We're so used to this 4-3-3. Wonder if there is the space for more tactical flexibility as Taylor's corner right into the six-yard box, headed out. Tommaso wants to get it back into the box. Doesn't quite fall for Kasima. Mangotsfield struggling to clear their lines, and Ngalo wins the free kick there for a high boot from a Mangotsfield player.
Bouncing around like a pinball table in there for a second there.
You feel like this is... How good are your judging of measurements, Jamie?
Generally say probably edging on 30 yards,
Yeah, I was going to go 29 yards or so.
I was going to say 28 just because of the line.
That's what I'm going. I'm doing my old lines maths. So, just under 30 yards out, pretty central. Ethan Taylor looks like he's weighing this up with his left foot. Taylor shoots low. He's trying to sneak it under the wall, but actually couldn't quite keep it down. An opportunity perhaps for McBeam on the counter. He wins the free kick from Medway. I think Medway is probably going to go into the referee's book here. I don't think Medway has too many complaints about it. Again,
and yes, you are correct. He has just went into the book.
Not a malicious challenge. Went in to win the ball. Just didn't quite get it right. McBeam went over, and when it happens like that, I think you were always perhaps expecting the card to come out of the referee's pocket there. Oh, more goals.
Another goal, actually, for Cinderford Town this time against Melksham Town. Zachary Drew to get the equaliser in that one.
Scored that late hat-trick last week against Barnstable, so we know he's got an eye for late goals, and Cinderford, after being 2-0 down, have come back to level it at 2 apiece there. Oh, at Melksham Town, that's a very creditable draw if they can hold on there, as the sides around the bottom look to pick up points to try and stave off the dreaded drop. Lewis Noyce brings the ball down for the goal kick. This time he's going to play it short to Kapugamu. And Kapugamu, on a little bit of a pressure from Kai Simpson, goes back to Harry Medway. McBeam comes to press high up the pitch. There could be space in behind as now Regay on the left wing. Not on the same page as Gwengui. As Gwengui came short and Regay played it in behind. Wow, this isn't a goal, but it is drama and it's come at Larkhall.
And it is now 10-10 in the Lymington versus Larkhall game at the moment. Both scored, both won all, and now both have red cards. And it was Adam Biss of Lymington Town who has got the red card.
So a lot of drama going on there. One apiece and both sides reduced to 10. Here's Lewis Noyce. Wants to play in Regay down the left side. That's going to be over his head and it's going to go out of play for the throw. Ton really haven't... They've had a couple of good opportunities on the... kind of on the counter, but they've lacked real consistent fluency, I think, in the second period.
I'd actually say a poorer start to the second half than it was in the first, unfortunately, if I was being critical. But as far as we're aware, this is hopefully going to lead into a better end in the second half. Still 2-0. And as we say that,
Griffin tries to free in Kasimu. He doesn't quite spring the offside trap there. Just seeing on the Podbean. Hello to everyone listening on Podbean, and thank you for getting in touch. Saw that Craig Hobbs, our club photographer, had the scoop about Hish getting ready nice and early. So one up to us there, Craig. Long ball forward. Player's gone down. I thought quite theatrically, Jaden Crosby. But Callum Bourne is called for the free kick there, saying that maybe he left a little bit of a foot in. Callum Bourne he just looks frustrated, didn't necessarily protest it. I think he knows that if you argue with the referee, generally it doesn't end well. There's usually only one winner, but opportunity for McBeam to try and get another set piece in. A lot of big men forward. Or he could be trying to catch Lewis Noyce off guard at his near post. Just the one man wall, which is Hisham Kasimu. Ball floated in towards the far side. I think it's going to go over everyone's head and out of play for a goal kick. Bit of a waste in the end.
This is what they're not used to in the first half. In the first half, they were playing against the wind. And this half, they're going to have to try and adapt to that as soon as possible to try and make an impact.
So Lewis Noyce clears all the traffic out of the way so we can take the goal kick. And there's no doubt where he wants to put this. He's going to look long down that left-hand side. Oh, actually, I thought that was the plan, but maybe not, because he's going down this right-hand side to Kasimu. On the turn, he's got past the left-back. And actually, Tyler Jackson recovered well there to win the ball back, because Kasimu very nearly showed him a clean set of heels. Gwengui puts the pressure on and a loose kick out. McBeam tries to keep it in play. Can't quite do so. Bourne looks for options, wants to go long. Gwengui and Kasimu there. Chambers wins the first header. Catamol flicks it over his head, and Medway tries to get the ball back downfield. This time it's Larkins who wins the header and puts it out of play for the throw. Bourne takes the throw short, and Garlow this time can't keep the ball in play. So a throw-in goes the visitors' way. They take it quickly, looking long once more. Lots of players from both sides kind of locked arm in arm. So the ball goes all the way through. Now cleared downfield, and Garlow in the middle of the park, picking it high over the head. You can see what effect the wind's having, because these aerial balls are going all over the place. Griffin putting a little bit of pressure on high up the pitch, and Garlow comes to win the ball, and he gets the free kick. Good pressure there from Totten, trying to win the ball high up the pitch. Take the pressure off that defence. Regay down the right, down the left-hand side with that throw. A header put through it, and Emmanuel Oke's down on the ground here for Mangotsfield. I didn't see under any real challenge, and he's sat down on the ground here. He looks to be struggling, and I imagine that they are indeed going to wave over the Mangotsfield physio. I think he was trying to. I don't think the Mangotsfield physio was quite ready for it. They're getting another substitute warming up, so wonder if this will be the end of Oke's day. We've been looking at those top-of-the-table encounters, Schorling and at home to Cirencester, and Froome hosting Biddeford. As we know, or last we heard, no goals in either of those games. Still the case?
Still the case. In the Froome game, actually, for Froome, Martin Lenehan has actually been replaced by Callum Evans. So it's a defensive change in that game.
Trying to just get fresh legs on, maybe get a bit more attacking impetus going forward. We'll see if that can make a change.
Obviously, I don't know what result you're looking for in the Shrewsbury versus Chichester game, but what would you be looking for?
I think the best. Either way, it's not too bad for us, because both sides drop points. I think a draw is probably the best result. Both sides dropping 2 points there, it means that a point kind of disappears. Oke's been waved back onto the field of play. Medway tries to hook the ball forward, towering under the ball. A couple of players. Header goes out to McBeam. Challenged, and McBeam goes to ground. Referee plays advantage. Now they're looking long. Luke Smith has an opportunity here out wide. Tommaso comes across to cover, trying to prevent that ball into the box. Smith goes back to the captain, Chambers. Chambers across to McBeam. Back to Chambers. The captain plays it short to Smith. And Kasimu's back doing some defensive work. And another free kick given Mangotsfield's way. for the challenge by Kasimu. And again, not seeing a huge amount in that.
I'd say that was a very, very soft challenge at most.
It feels like the referee's saying that the defending for Tottenham's just getting a little bit handsy. But I must admit, hey, if the referee gives those equally either way, then that's all you ask for. The ball into the box is low. Griffin does some defensive work to try and clear it out. Jackson keeps it on this near side and is crossing. Charged down by Callum Bourne. Out for another throw. We'll say it feels like Mangotsfield having more of the attacking possession in this second half, but haven't really had any good chances yet to show for it. I imagine this is going to be a long throw from Larkins. He's going to spear it into the box, and he's done very well to keep that in play. No, not quite. Acrobatic effort with the bicycle kick from, I think, Simpson, but the assistant on the far side, looking right down that line, called it, said it was out of play, and it's going to be a goal kick to the hosts. Still 2-0 here in this second half. Again, we felt that Tottenham maybe had a few more gears to go into over halfway through the second period now. I still don't feel we've really seen them hit those.
I still believe that we are comfortably travelling in third gear at the moment. Still haven't upped the tempo as much as we should. We have made the attack and change, but once again, hoping to actually see that on the pitch.
Again, maybe just a slightly different role for Hish as Noyce's free kick goes straight into, or goal kick goes straight into the stands on the far side in front of that rainbow, thank you NHS flag we can see on the far side of the pitch in the old stand. Larkin's going to get an opportunity from another long throw. Another goal at Melksham, Jamie.
Another goal at Melksham. And once again, it is Jay Malshansky. And it is for Melksham Town to make them 3-2 up now. To put them 3-2 up even.
Malshansky's second goal of the game there. After the visitors have come back from 2 down to equalise, Melksham Town have taken the lead once more. Tough place to go. The Infilled Arena at times. Larkins with that long throw. Should be comfortably dealt with. Tomasa gets his head through it. Gwengwe tussles for the ball downfield. And Gwengwe this time wins the ball well. Looking for an opportunity to free the counter. He's trying to play through Kasimu. And, well, I think Kasimu was frustrated because he thought there should have been an advantage played there. But the referee's brought this back for a free kick. And I think he's going to show the yellow card as well. Gwengwe was caught late. Held the ball up well. Tried to maybe sneak through Kasimu. Might have been an opportunity to get through behind the defence and in on goal, but the referee brought it back for the free kick. And the referee is indeed going to take the name into the book. Luke Smith now will be the second Mangotsfield name to go into the referee's little notebook. What do you think of that decision, Jamie?
I believe it was a stupid decision to stop the counter-attack, but... Yeah, again, if there is a player down on the floor in pain, you do want to look after the safety reasons first. So it's understandable.
Yeah, obviously, as you say, when there's a player down, of course, got to protect the players, make sure they're okay. From the referee's angle as well, maybe he's thinking at it, thinking Kasimu's not going to get there. But the fans on this near side were voracious in their appeals for the fact that that play should have been allowed to continue there.
To be fair, even with all this noise from the fans, it's definitely not impacting the referee's decisions at all, which is sometimes nice to see.
High over the top, looking for Gwengwe. Davis wins the header, tries to get it downfield. That's a slightly hashed clearance. Bourne puts his foot through it and works its way to Kasimu. He's going to roll it back to Bourne here. He's got N'Golo on the inside. N'Golo tries to clip it over the top, looking for Kasimu. Comfortably cut out, though, by Jackson. Downfield, Kapugamu gets it on the chest. McBeam tussling with Kapugamu. Kapugamu gets there first. Clears it only as far as Chambers. Mangotsfield trying to come forward once more. Clipping one down that left-hand side. Griffin scoops the ball over his head and out of play for a throw on the far side. It ricochets off the corrugated iron roof of that stand on the far side. And, well, they needed one new ball and they've got two. Just confirming with Ollie Howard on the Twitter comms, who the booking went to. It was Luke Smith, the number 15 there, came on in the first half for Mangotsfield. There is a goal in a game involving a playoff team, which we will get you to very shortly after Larkins takes this long throw into the box. Kapugamu wins a strong header. This is going to bounce out of play on the far side. It's come at Highworth. Who's it gone to?
It's gone to Winchester City to go 2-0 up. Oliver Bailey scoring. So they were the first scorers of today, and now they're the latest to make it 2-0 in their game.
Yeah, the two Ollies, Balmer and Bailey, making their presence felt. Header on, it goes over Lewis Noyce and Kai Simpson with an absolute air shot. Could have punished them because Lewis Noyce was out of position, but he got it wrong and is eventually crowded out. And Griffin now looks to spring the counter-attack. Gwengri tries to trap the ball, bring it down. Physical defending from Jackson shields it away. And now Jackson will try and turn defence into attack. In the centre of the park, trying to put it forward. Bourne doesn't want to lunge in there, and he gets nutmegged as now still Mangotsfield come forward. Simpson from range, a bobbling ball. No real sting behind that shot. And Lewis Noyce throws the ball out quickly. He's got Regé, and Regé's got space, and Regé's got pace coming forward. He's got a nice little link up there with Griffin. Puts it for Regé inside the centre of the pitch. Still Regé on the edge of the area. Doesn't quite work his way free into the box. Eventually just crowded out. But Regé making use of that space and making use of those rapid feet. Bourne wins the ball defensively. As Larkins goes back, trying to clear the ball long. Medway and Kapugamu. Well, they yeah, a little bit of slight miscommunication, but eventually it goes all the way through to Lewis. Noyce is going to wait for Simpson to apply a bit of pressure before he picks it up. More goals.
Top of the table here, Rex Mannings for Froome Town, making it 1-0 in their game. 74 minutes played in their 15 left. And also another goal for Melksham to make it 4-2 in their game. Ryan Morgan scoring for the home side.
Medway with a header. Didn't want to let anyone in behind. It's gone behind for the corner. I think probably could have left that there for the goalkeeper. So lots of goals to tell you about. Lots of goals coming at Melksham and Froome. They've huffed and puffed, but they finally have taken the lead. Down to struggle at home to struggling Biddeford. They can hold on for 15 minutes. That's going to be, again, another valuable 3 points in the race for the title and the race for promotion here in the Southern League Division 1 South. Corner was floated in and over the top of everyone and behind for the goal kick. So no drama there.
I don't even think that came into play.
I'm not sure whether it did, actually. And I'm not sure Lewis Noyce will mind either way. Lewis Noyce has the ball on the edge of the 6-yard box, ready to take this goal kick long. Puts it high into the Totten sky. Gwengui tries to get underneath the ball. Davis wins the first header. Ethan Taylor wins the second. Jackson clears it out of play. Kapugamu heads it forward. Regé tussling, able to keep it in, win the ball, and he's got it forward to Griffin, and he's trying to, again, get the 1-2 with Regé, but the defenders close in there. And Griffin plays the ball off the defenders for a throw on the far side. This wind, you can tell it is causing some problems for both sides. You feel like it'd be conducive to getting the ball down on the park and playing it, but both sides have struggled with that. There's a long ball forward from Regé. Gwengui's done well to keep that in, and now Gwengui's driving forward. Little push in the back. No, says the referee. Just shielding him away. As Mangotsfield clear the danger, Bourne, I think, has got time and he's going to roll this back to Lewis Noyce. Maybe with a 1-2, tries to set Bourne free, goes inside quickly to Tommaso. Tommaso wants to get the ball from back to front quickly. His clearance is charged down. Throw for Bourne on this near side. And the final change now is going to take place. For Mangotsfield, we saw OK struggling a little bit earlier in this game. He is coming off to be replaced by number 14, Harry Horton, as the night begins to set in here. Just under 15 minutes left in this second half. Totten still 2-0 to the good from those first half goals from Ethan Taylor and Shaq Gwengui.
And while there is a break in play, there has been another goal at Bristol Manor Farm. Jaden Nilsson making it 2-0 against Plymouth Parkway.
Well, they've gone down to Blythe Park to take on Parkway, and they've gone down to 10 men, and they've now gone 2-0 up. So that is a huge result for a lot of those other sides in the promotion push, as Parkway looking to make up for those games in hand and struggling there at home to Manor Farm. Medway plays it out of defence to Ngalo. Ngalo tries to find a little bit of space on the far side, wins the free kick. I think there's just maybe been a slight correction as to the goal scorer.
There was. It was actually Jake Gosling who scored for Bristol Manor Farm.
There we are. Just a little bit of clarification for you. Long ball downfield. Davis gets his head to it and heads it out of play on the far side. Regé will take the throw. Goes to Gwengui. Tommaso tries to hook it downfield for Griffin to chase, but he can't keep it in play, and it's another throw. Again, the game just getting a little bit fractured slightly. Both sides struggling to get some fluency as Larkins. But there's that familiar long throw that Medway Amasse reads well, and Tommaso brings the ball down, hooks it forward. This does about spin and stay in play. Gwengui pinches the ball, and Gwengui's in play here, and Gwengui can come forward. Gwengui is clipped and brought down by Larkins, and the referee gives the free kick. You have got the confirmation of the attendance through with the video printer.
The attendance at the Snow Stadium is 592, which is 100 more than I even predicted.
That is a very good attendance here at the Snows, a bumper crowd to see this game against Mangotsfield. And once more, we thank everyone who's come down and shown their support for the lads today.
As I said before the game, 12th or 13th man really for the team. That is really huge numbers for a game of this stature.
And they'll try and make the voice felt as the Ethan Taylor, of course, we know what he can do from the free kick, sell out the second goal from a delivery into the box. Medway tried to get there. In the end, it was just about thwarted from getting to him. And Garlo, in the end, runs the ball out of play for the throw. He's going to wait, I think, for Bourne to come over and take this. Just again, seeing that Medway couldn't quite get to the ball and just making sure that Totten win the free kick so they can get reset. Now Ngalo's got space. He wants to get Bourne on the overlap. Bourne's done well to keep this in. Tussling at left back. Up against the number three, Tyler Jackson. And Jackson eventually hooks it out of play. And he must have got it off Bourne because it's a visiting throw. One more goal at Highworth.
And it is once again for Winchester City. Oliver Bailey again for his second goal of the game.
So 3-0 Winch lead at Highworth, and that game you feel is probably done and dusted, and the 3 points will be going back to Winchester. Here's Griffin trying to hook it quickly for Kasimu. Jackson clears it. This time Griffin puts his head through it, but I don't think this is going to stay in play, and indeed it is not. As Jackson and Kasimu just watch that one over their heads. The temperature's dropped slightly as it gets a little bit darker here. Still just the one sub made for the hosts that two subs, I should say, because Bourne came on for Olamide at halftime, and we saw Kasimu come on for Jack Hoey. So they've got one more in the locker should they need it. Bourne tries to head this clear, but he can only flick it on. Simpson's in the box, trying to cut towards the byline, across the face of goal. Noyce gets a palm to it, and Regé follows up and clears it downfield. More danger there for Mangotsfield, who I must say maybe have been the better side in this second half. This time a ball in. That's a much better defensive header from Callum Bourne. Chambers wins it, and I think he was trying to shoot from range there, but he's got that completely wrong. It's gone all the way through to Regé at left back and eventually out of play on the far side. There is a player. I think that might be... I can't see who it is. Who's not got a number on the back of his shirt for Mangotsfield. I wonder if that's their final substitute. I can't remember.
I believe that was their final substitute without the number on their back. Number 14 is who it should be, Harry Horton.
Thank you very much. As the ball goes into the area and Lewis Noyce just sits on it slightly. Just going to take the sting out of it, take a bit more time out of the game. Of course, Totten, two goals up, don't need to drive forward with the same urgency that they have perhaps had earlier in the game. Tommaso wins the header, only as far as Horton. Tommaso wins it again. This time Griffin gets there first, trying to poke one free for Gwengui to chase. Gwengui up against Davis. Davis on the deck, and the referee blows for the foul against Gwengui. You looked frustrated with that decision, Jamie.
I do. I feel like he's just using his shoulder in that situation. Once again, I feel like there's a few soft calls here from the referee.
And the final substitution is being made now by the Stags. Ethan Taylor played well, scored the first, assisted the second, but he did pick up a yellow card, and so maybe just a little bit wary of... Don't want to put Taylor in a compromising situation. Comes off roundly applause to be replaced by Lewis Waterfield. We've seen him fill in a lot defensively recently, and now he gets a chance to have a bit more freedom in the midfield. And this, of course, will also give Kasimu a bit more license to push us forward as well.
I do believe he is also an early shout for man of the match this game. An assist and a goal.
He's certainly one to watch. Regay clears the ball. Gwengu will try and keep this in play. Cleared as far as Griffin. He tries to switch play across the field. I don't think Mangosfield are going to be able to keep this in. Bourne. I think he wanted a short option. He's not really seeing one. Lewis Waterfield will try and provide that instead. He's going down the line to Kasimu. Wins that header well. Through to Gwengu. He traps it on the chest. Tries to flick it over the top for Waterfield. His first touch. But it's well dealt with by the Mangotsfield defence. Now they want to clear it downfield. Medway gets his head to the ball. A little bit of a miscommunication between Waterfield and Griffin. And the free kick's given against one of the two of them. A little push in the back there from Horton trying to recover the ball against Waterfield. Chambers clips it down that far side. And this time there is a little bit of a nudge on Regay as he went up for the ball. Regay lands on the floor in a heap and the referee gives the home side the free kick. Lewis Noyce, I imagine, is probably going to take some time with this. More goals.
And it is Froome to go 2-0 up. Alex Monk scoring for the hosts. Yeah, not again, but he has scored. And also Poulton Rovers going 4-0 up through Neil Martin.
We've seen earlier in the season what a tough place it can be to play Evesham. So that's a brilliant result for Poulton Rovers, who are often so good on the road. And as you say, with Froome, it took them most of the game to try and find that opener. But now they have. Biddeford have to come out of their shell a little bit, and Froome have made them pay for it. Kai Simpson with a slightly unknowing header there. Now he wants to recycle the ball forward. It just ricochets off Bourne. Simpson tries to turn Kasimu, and Kasimu must have clipped him there as he did so, because he's given away the free kick.
I believe Simpson has been let off lightly there, as he was playing into danger, almost looking for the foul, and has kind of got lucky, in my opinion, getting the decision in his way.
Here's Catamol standing over the free kick. He could, it's quite a long way out to have a go here, but you never know. Try and catch Lewis Noyce off guard, especially with this wind. There are options on the far side of the box if that's indeed where he looks to go with the ball. I think he's going to have a go, and he put his foot through it, hit it through the laces, but it wasn't ever troubling Lewis Noyce. High and wide and behind for the goal kick. It was an optimistic effort, I think, there, Jamie.
I mean, that's to say the least at this point. 40, almost 50 yards out, trying to go for goal. Most people would call you idiotic, but...
Hey, if it goes in, you look like an absolute genius. And if it doesn't, you look like a bit of a numpty.
Only a bit.
Regay trying to get his foot to the ball. Waterfield and N'Golo tussling for it in the midfield against Mangotsfield. Slightly loose touch, might let Waterfield in here, but actually that's well dealt with by Jackson. And Jackson's continued, plays a 1-2 with Crosby. And Bourne wins it, wants to clear it, and it's going to ricochet off the back of Tyler Jackson, the left back for Mangotsfield, who I think has had a good game so far today. And it's gone out for a throw, in fact, right down by that corner flag. So an opportunity for Mangotsfield to try and press, win the ball high up the pitch. Bourne with a long throw. And then I think Gwengui had his arm locked by the opposing captain, Dion Chambers, there. Brought down to the turf, and the referee blows for the free kick, and that will release the pressure valve for Tottenham. Just smart there, just again getting his body in position and making the opposition try and come round him and winning the free kick.
A very late call here for a comeback, but Evesham has scored a penalty to make it 4-1 in their game.
Doesn't quite roll for Kasimu on the edge of the area. Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't see that comeback happening, but you never know.
I mean, you were speaking about optimism earlier with the free kick. I thought I might have a bit of optimism myself.
I mean, there's optimism and then there's that. Here's Bourne, ball in his hands, ready for the throw. Goes long downfield, looking for Gwengui. Chambers wins the header and puts it out of play for another throw. So this time it's about a third of the way, perhaps, through the visiting half, level with the far edge of the centre circle on this near side. We're looking down the line for Gwengui. Chambers gets there first, and now hooked at the second opportunity by Catamol. Regay puts his foot through it. I don't think Griffin's going to get to this. Not quite out of play on the far, out of play on the far side for another throw. Taken quickly by Larkins, looking for Simpson in behind.
The additional time almost getting shown.
Simpson tussling with Medway, putting the ball into the box. Kapugamu blocks it. And Garlo clears it as we hear 4 minutes of added time to be played in the second half. Griffin tries to get through Kasimu. Kasimu rounds the goalkeeper, through on goal, yes! And Kasimu finishes it from out of nothing. It's now 3 goals to the good for the Stags. Griffin flicked it on. Kasimu that time beat the offside trap. Radovanovic came out of his goal to try and thwart the attack. But Kasimu, used that pace, got there first. A simple touch took it round. The defender tried to cover, but just couldn't get there in time. And Kasimu has iced this game for the home side. It is now AFC Totten 3, Mangotsfield United 0. What a goal, Jamie.
What a goal. Very similar to the first goal scored as well, where we were rounding the keeper. Through on goal, one on one. Takes a very heavy touch, gets the open goal, scores it. Beautiful.
And Kasimu struggled for goals a little bit recently. He's been setting up his teammates well, but hasn't been able to put it in the back of the net himself. And to come on, you know, not in the starting lineup today, but to still come on to make an impact and to get that goal, that will be a huge confidence booster and for him. And you know what strikers are judged on?
Their goals.
They're judged on goals. And that will, hopefully kickstart another barnstorming scoring run.
You really do love your words like barnstorming, don't you?
Well, got to add a little bit of life and spice to proceedings, I think. Kapugamu, down with it. Just tussling with the ball in the corner up against the number 16 for Mangotsfield. That's Jaden Crosby, and Kapugamu's done well there because he's won the goal kick. There has been another goal. Tell us about Barnstable.
There has been another goal. It's for Slimbridge and Nathan Dennis, the scorer, to make it 3-2 in that game.
So Barnstable, after losing 3-2 in their last two games, they're 3-2 up there. So, potentially more like heartbreak for Barnstable. We'll see as Lewis Waterfield is caught late there by Horton. Horton gives away the free kick. Godfrey was right on that. And Alan Tomasso, he's seen Jordan Ngalo marauding down this right-hand side. And Garlo, he gets to the ball and tries to just flick it behind, and actually must have been an interfering touch from Jackson, out of play for a throw. Bourne takes it quickly to Kasimu on the edge of the area. Kasimu turns, still Kasimu trying to wriggle his way free. He might get this, you know. Kasimu shoots close to Radovanovic. Actually, Kasimu did brilliantly to craft a shooting opportunity there, because it looked like there was no way through, but he threaded the needle to get the shot on, and now two Mangotsfield players take each other out, and Tottenham win the ball, and they're down in a heap, and the Mangotsfield physio is called over. I believe that you had a little bit of info on that goal from us via Podbean.
Yes, Doug Webber yet again saying that Kasimu was his last scored against Lymington on the 27th of December.
So his first goal in 6 games. Good feedback as well from Sally and Linda, both saying, yes, and come on, you Tottenham. Sentiments that, of course, we greatly appreciate it. This is, of course, going to be a little bit of a timeout of the game, as both players down in a bit of a heat. Getting now the attendance over the tannoy from stadium announcer Sean McLeod. 592 is a brilliant attendance, and it is roundly and warmly applauded by all here at the Snyers. And we thank everyone for coming down on this cold January afternoon to come and support and throw their weight behind the Stags. I've been in fine voice today. We are now beginning to get the first final scores coming in, Jamie.
We are, and that is Melksham Town versus Cinderford coming in first. Beautiful game there. Very entertaining one, I imagine. 4-2 is the end score. Melksham taking the win, the 3 points.
So after going 2 goals up, we're paid back to two apiece, and then 2 more goals have put them as 4-2 winners there, taking the 3 points. Maybe an outside shot of the playoffs for Melksham. They're going to need to keep picking up points if they want to do that. For Slimbridge, of course, they're probably looking more at the bottom of the, for Cinderford, I mean, looking more at the bottom of the table than at the top. As the drop ball is, pretty much wasted, actually, by Mangotsfield. Nice clip ball out to this near side for Griffin. Players flooding forward for Totten. Nice ball with the outside of the right boot for Bourne. finds Gwengui. Gwengui going down into the corner. Gwengui's kept this in. Tussing against two defenders. Now Gwengui's gone down. Bourne's going to apply a little bit of pressure. Tyler Jackson in that left back area just about gets rid of the ball. Headed on. The light's come off behind us. That's nice. In the end, the clearance goes all the way through. It dealt with and goes back to Neuss. He's found Kapugamu. Kapugamu wants again to try and get Hish in behind. And Chambers, under pressure from Kasimu, has to play that back to his keeper, Radovanovic. Long clearance off the head of Regé, out of play for a throw on the far side. The fans in the terrace there tried to keep the ball in before it went over that fence, but couldn't quite do so. We do need to make sure that we keep those balls, because it turns out they're not cheap.
They're not cheap, are they?
The mitre footballs, oh no. I will not tell you exactly how much they are, but yeah, it's very important that we keep those. Over the top, potentially. Larkins with the long throw, we imagine. Into the box. Very high this time. And Lewis Neuss punches, still only half cleared. Kai Simpson's shot blocked. And again, at the second opportunity, goes behind for the goal kick. And Godfrey puts his whistle to his lips, blows for full time. Ethan Taylor finishing first after Gwengui set him through. Then Taylor turned provider, and Gwengui headed into the net for a 2-0 half-time lead. Both sides lacked fluency in the second half, but a late goal. Sam Griffin flicking it through. Kasimu rounding the keeper to finish his first goal in six. And your final score here is AFC Totten 3, Mangersfield United 0. I'm going to see if I can go down and get some pitch side interviews.
Wait, Drew.
Did you want it to be Ethan Taylor?
I am saying Ethan Taylor. He's had such a good game.
And your man of the match today is Ethan Taylor, after an incredible individual performance and once again a brilliant team performance to then make it 3-0 for the hosts.
Just struggling a little bit here to get the wireless mic on the go. Hopefully we can get that fit and firing so we can do some end of game interviews. So we can grab one of the players or Dan Sackman. Bang, I've got it going, so give me 1 second.
Perfect. You can make yourself way down and I'll start speaking about the results from the games today. And your results from around the ground is Larkhall Athletic vs Lymington Town 1-1, Plymouth Parkway vs Bristol Manor Farm 2-0 to Bristol Manor Farm.
Can you hear me? Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, I can indeed.
Very good. Very, very good.
I'll quickly speak as Broome Town did get the 2-0 victory as you are making your way to the pitch.
Yeah, that Scholing Siren Sester game 0-0 in the end.
Now, that is probably the best result that we have had today from around the ground.
And I have grabbed the man who set up the first goal and scored the second, Shaq Gwengui. Shaq, back in the starting lineup today and back in the goals as well.
Obviously we had a setback during the week, but as a group, you know, we're so resilient, and today we had to put on a good performance for the fans and just show how much we stick together and ground out results. I mean, Maggots were on the side, but we had to dig in as well, and the team played really well.
Difficult conditions today with the very strong winds. How do you feel the team dealt with the conditions on offer?
I mean, so obviously with the winds and stuff, the ball could probably go on further than it should. So, like, we just had a game plan of try hit the channels and hopefully the ball carries on. And we kept getting in behind quite often. I mean, the ball was in the air most of the time, but you know, that's what I mean, like second balls were won and lost in midfield, you know. And we worked harder than Magersfield to get the balls, and that's why I think we won.
Talk us through your goal as well, from Taylor's delivery from the set piece.
To be fair, I was hiding behind the first man, and then I kind of checked my run, so pretend to go feet, and then span in behind, and then I actually tried header it, but then it came off my shoulder. It came off my shoulder, and it went in. I mean, what can I say? Striker's touch, always get lucky. So, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how they go in, as long as it hits the back of the net.
As long as it hits the back of the net, mate, yeah.
Well played today. Cheers, mate. Excellent game. Good to see you back in the starting lineup and back in the goals.
Thank you.
You can hear as well some fans making their voices heard, which is very much appreciated. I'm going to see if I can grab for a few words here the first team coach, Liam Robinson.
How are you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm good. What was your summary of the performance today?
As always, we've done really well at home. We've had good crowds and the boys do respond off that. And it was important after naturally some disappointment in the league last two games to try and get back to a normal winning way in the league and comfortably, which I think today was.
Yeah, a couple of changes to the starting lineup. Obviously, Adam Tomasso back out of isolation and back in the starting lineup, and Shaq Gwengri favoured in place of Kasima up front. What was kind of the thinking behind those changes?
Yeah, to be honest, as football goes, a couple of forced ones. Hish had been struggling at training on Thursday, so no risk for us. He was good enough for the bench. Adam, admittedly, a late replacement. So we know we've got a very good squad, and all the boys know that no matter who starts, we're going to have some depth. And it's important, yes, to have everyone back available, regardless of who starts, just having the selection available and, yeah, hopefully come through today with, you know, everyone intact and ready to go again.
Yeah, Freddie Reid, of course, was originally down on the team sheet and didn't make it today. Just a slight hip problem, we were told.
Yeah, Freddie had spoken to Andy before the game, went out for the warm-up and was kind of okay, got through the end of the warm-up and it was still sore. And as I said, we've got a good squad. We knew we had an immediate replacement and there's, you know, no need to throw someone on if they're struggling.
Really good signs going forward, of course. Shaq coming into the starting lineup, setting up the first goal and scoring the second, and then Kasimu off the bench, breaking his bit of a scoring drought, his first goal in six games. So always good problems to have when you've got players that can put loads of players that can put the ball in the back of the net.
For sure. And I think as much as we're very good offensively, the pleasing thing today was we asked the boys, we know you're going to score. We know you're really good going forward. How do you all work together defensively? And any of the boys, Shaquille, who started, Hish when he came on, we're asking them to do a bit more now. You know, it's the end of the season. We can't, you know, slow down. And that was pleasing. Not only did we defend really well as a back four, but everyone forwards of that, they worked hard. They got in when they needed to. So that was equally as pleasing as definitely the goals.
So a couple of training sessions midweek before a big game next weekend away at Froome, I think, if my schedule maths is correct.
Correct, yeah. We've had a few weeks where we've not had training. And I think when we're a side that, you know, are growing from a young squad, who've got things that we want to get them information about, missing training is a big deal. And I think it'll be really nice to have a strong week of training, get some good information on ready for, another big game. And unfortunately, every game near the end of the season is as big as the others, whether they're around us or whether we've got to get 3 points against Mangotsfield.
Brilliant. Thanks, Rob. I really appreciate that. So, three goals and 3 points today for the Stags. I think we'll call that a job well done, Jamie.
I think we do have to say that is a job well done. As far as I'm aware, there is not many more positives to take from this game.
Yeah, keeping the clean sheet. Getting a variety of different goal scorers, hopefully getting Kasimu's goal scoring form back. Gwengui coming into the starting lineup as well. Tomasso coming out of isolation. He played well today, broke up well in the base of that midfield. So overall, yes, a very positive performance. As I alluded to in that interview with Liam Robinson, we do not have a game midweek this week, which is makes a change actually. We've had quite a few back-to-back-to-backs.
So we will be back next Saturday when we are away at Froome. Hopefully, of course, we'll see a lot of people there with us. But if you cannot, which, you know, we appreciate that not everyone can, especially for away games, Stags Radio will, of course, be there. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. We'll be live at 2:30 with pre-match punditry from 2:45.
And before we end tonight or today, what would your entertainment value be for a game like this today?
Oh, that is tough. You know what? 3 goals, 3 points. I'll give it 3 stars out of 5 because I think maybe with the conditions, I don't think either side was necessarily at their best. But for Tottenham, you know, I think you'd take the slightly more workmanlike 3 points over the over a potential defeat.
I do agree with you completely. 3 out of 5 for the night. 3 goals, 3 points. 3 entertainment, and I believe that we shall leave the fans on that. If you'd like to sign off.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Thank you for making your Stags Radio debut. We shall see you all next week when we take on Froome in another big game. Of course, we'll be thinking about the reverse fixture when we beat them 3-0 at home in the league earlier this league campaign. Thank you very much for listening to Stags Radio. For all of our crew here, have a very lovely afternoon. Your final score is AFC Totten 3, Mangotsfield United 0.